If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, when you go on vacation, the goal usually is just to relax. That doesn't always mean that things work out that way. For example, passengers aboard the Celebrity Infinity cruise ship. Well, part of the ship burst into flames, resulting in a total blackout. No lights, no air conditioning, no food service, no communications. Now, I know that sucks, but if the ship is not sinking or being boarded by Somali pirates, I chalk that up to an inconvenience, not exactly an emergency. On the other hand, last week at the Denver International Airport, located only 7,000 miles away from Denver, passengers evacuated an American Airlines jet. The problem? Well, it was on fire. Now, the plane was gathering speed on the runway for takeoff before passengers heard a loud bang, before somebody screamed, fire, which is always awesome to scream on a plane. Now, sure, all 173 passengers got out via the emergency slides, but that is an adrenaline-filled, butt-puckering moment. So, given the choice of being trapped on a powerless cruise ship for days versus fleeing a burning plane for only a few minutes, I'm taking the cruise ship. But that's just me, because there's no adrenaline dump. I do not think I'm going to die. I think I'm going to be inconvenienced. A plane that is on fire, like I said, it's only a few minutes, but those are a bad, bad few minutes. So if I had one choice, I'm taking a cruise ship. But that's just me. And today, that's what we're doing. It is the random would you rather question brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration. You call us. We'll give you a completely hypothetical situation. You tell us your decision. And while there's no right answers, we will tell you why you're wrong.
To be a part of the big show, the random would you rather question, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to the men's room at KISW.com. All the calls, away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,363. What a large and a charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. The exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve, I don't know how you do it. Each and every week you find bad people doing bad things in the news. You bring us three stories. It is up to us to determine out of the three which one sucks the least. How are we looking this week on Who Sucks Less?
People doing what they do, but it is summertime, man. A lot of people are flying, and we know the slogan, fly the friendly skies. I'm going to say people are flying the friendly skies today.
Oh, a little too friendly.
I don't know about that.
Like a Philly-Yankee baseball game friendly?
In some cases, that friendly.
Oh, really?
But even more involved, I would say. You know, but I will say this is a great time to fly.
Okay.
Great time to fly.
Who Sucks Less is coming up at 4:30. And today is the day that we do our random would you rather question, 206-803-ROCK. I'm going to start with one for you guys. That way you guys can get an idea how this thing works. So, all right. Let's just say that you have a partner in crime, a new partner, right? Mm-hmm. Would you rather be with a slow talker, a slow walker, or a slow eater? Those are the options.
For me, it's a no-brainer. No-brainer.
Me as well.
The slow eater.
I'm going slow eater.
Slow eater, yes. Every time.
Slow eater.
Absolutely.
Because I'm with one.
Slow eater?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm a very slow eater. So for me, this is perfect.
Doggone it.
Yes. I love it. What's wrong
with you people?
Well, I don't... You know, look, it's not a race. So for me, like, a mealtime...
I think it depends on the meal, though. Like, if it's the weekend and I've made breakfast, for some reason, that gets eaten pretty quickly.
But really? Especially if it's hot.
Yeah.
Like, eggs cool down quickly and all that kind of thing. So I do tend to shovel those down. I've slowed down only because I'm getting older and you have more indigestion issues.
I chew more.
But, yeah, I definitely chew more.
That's one lesson. That's one thing, man.
But I honestly eat slow. My daughter eats extremely slowly. So after 14 years, I think I've just learned to deal with it. But in no way... is she going to out-eat anyone in any capacity? It's ridiculous.
The good news is, when you have kids, and they order their remedial food
chicken
strips and French fries, you go, hey, You can bring those out with the appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring those out for
absolutely.
You can bring that out. If you want to go back there and get an extra one sitting in the window, just take it.
But the problem is when you order something like pizza and to bring the pizza out at the same time. And like I said, my daughter has a very odd way of eating it. But even in her odd methodology, she's still very slow about the process of eating. So if we could say like two medium or two large pizzas, everyone else has put down about four slices, right? You are full.
Yep.
There's no more. She's on slice one about halfway done, but she wants two. So inevitably, like, listen, baby, seriously, man, like we're taking the rest home. She's like, can I have one more piece? I'm like, not here.
Yes.
When we get home,
see, that's not a bad thing.
What you want. I think it is.
Now, I would almost rather be with a slow talker than someone who takes forever, regardless of the speed of their speech, to get to their point. So if it takes you a long time to get from point A to point B, where you hear the guy that calls in, long story short, we all go, oh, no.
You're lying.
Oh, no. It's going to take forever.
Yeah.
I'd almost rather be with a slow talker than someone who just takes forever to get to whatever point, story, whatever they're talking about.
But I think there's a difference. Like, yeah, if you have a point that you are going to make, I don't mind if you speak slowly. I'll get all the details.
That's it.
If you speak at a regular pace, but I'm beginning to wonder, like, does this story end? That drives me crazy.
I mean, I have a buddy. His wife's a bit of a slow talker.
Yeah.
But she makes very good points.
That's it.
But I have just, over the last year or two, I have made a conscious effort to just be like, just keep your head in the game.
Yeah, right.
She's actually super intelligent and makes great points. But, like, with me and my buddies, we get going. It's like this show. It's just rapid fire.
Yes.
I got to be like,
yes.
Ted, shut up.
Slow down.
Let her talk.
Now,
that's the thing. If you know a point is going to be made, it's like listening to a political speech, right? Most of them are not going to rapid fire. If they're doing a speech for you to hear, they all slow down and speak like this, but they are going to make a point whether you agree with the point or not. And I do appreciate that. But there's other people, they speak slowly and there's no point. And it drives me up a wall. And I feel like I don't know people like that. But when I go to the bar, which I do frequently, every once in a while you get engaged in a conversation with someone and you realize, like, oh my God, it's going to take 20 minutes for them even to get to the point.
Look,
and they're speaking
slowly. We are in the communication business. Our job is to communicate, whether it's good or bad, whatever the deal is, that's our job to do to you, to entertain you, all those things.
Yeah.
The whole building's that way. There are people in this building that if you want to get involved with a conversation, you might as well just sit down. Take your shoes off.
Unpack a lunch.
Put your feet up and seriously lay back in a chair with your hands behind your head and just listen, because you've just lost a half an hour of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more of that in this room or this building than there are in my life.
Yeah.
In my life.
Mm-hmm.
On this floor. On this floor alone.
I heard you say in this room.
Well, no.
I'll wrap it up, dude.
Actually, we do this for a living. You know what I'm saying? But I'm serious. These other people do this for a living, too.
And it amazes me.
It's crazy that you should charge by, like, the half an hour. I mean, there's a guy who has a sign on his door. I won't say who it is, but it's basically counseling services.
Yeah.
Sticker on there says, all right, you just sign up. He should have a sign-up sheet. Like, these slots are taken.
Because, well, without him offering his services, people will spend 25 minutes not talking
on the
about
phone,
work.
Even not even in person. I mean, it's the damnedest thing in the world. My biggest pet peeve on this one, though, is the slow walker. And I realize the people get older.
It's not a race, Miles.
Look, my dad and his girlfriend were just in town for 2 weeks. They left yesterday.
How happy are you?
Well, they were fine. It was just to get anywhere. To get anywhere. Because they could be listening. To get anywhere. All right? It would take... I was like, I will drop you off at the front door of wherever we are going. I mean, at a drive-thru.
Because you're going to park the car and still get through the door before they do.
At the same time.
Yes. We started to walk someplace for dinner. We walked about 100 yards. I said, turn this ass around. I'm driving.
Right.
And the reason we're going to walk is it's not Uberable. It's too short.
You.
It's too short of a way. Also, there's not guaranteed or a lot of parking in this area. I figured we would walk there.
So did you drop them off and then park your car back at your house?
I could have. Okay. No, I ended up driving. I did find a spot. But the whole idea was I just can't wait for this.
Yeah.
And the worst is, I don't know how I do this. Every time in the grocery store, I get behind that slow person. I mean, just really slow. And then I find a way to get around them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to the next aisle. Somehow they're in front of me again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like they just appear. I'm like, how did you jump the aisle?
You have not been moving fast,
right,
but suddenly
But suddenly you're in front of me again. Like, how did this happen? And I think
that's the only place I don't mind.
Well, you treat a grocery store like a museum. And yeah. you're the one person I know where, you know, like...
Take your time. I'm in no hurry.
Because you look at stuff that you have no intention of buying.
Like, yeah, a lot of people... picking up melons.
But a lot of people yeah. grab stuff, and they're debating what they need this or want this or can afford this or whatever it is. And it's understood that that's what they're doing. As for Ted, we'll investigate all the food. Like, oh, there's no chance I'm buying this. But
might
I
be a future buy.
It could be.
It's like,
oh, you're setting up like a date.
Well, it's like going, it's like Mike and I were talking about last week, right? I don't know why, but when I go to the airport, I got to go put eyes on the gate, then I can go get food or a drink.
Sure.
Same thing.
What if it's at the end gate?
Same. You got
to
get out
there. Do you get on the train to get back on the train?
No. I'll find a spot out there.
Oh, that's
same thing at the grocery store. Like, that might be an ice cream sandwich. We can't be eating that on a Wednesday night. Let's scout it out. See if it's there for Saturday.
Now, the one time, my daughter does not necessarily walk slow. All right? I mean, she does not. She's built like me. She's got long legs. Even when you walk slow, you're gaining ground. And I should be super appreciative of this. If you go to a museum or go to the zoo, like, people look at animals for a second, you move on to the next thing. If you go to the museum, you look at something for a second, you move on to the next thing. To my daughter's credit, although, man, it is long. But no, to her credit, man, because she absorbs everything. We went to the Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C. This is like the premier one.
Awesome.
It is phenomenal. Even if you don't think you're interested, you would be interested. She's just more interested. So what we realize after being there for about 20 minutes.
She's reading all the stuff.
Every single one, right? So, and granted, it's just a plaque. It's like the size of an index card. That's the important thing to give you, right? It's not a novel, but... when there's that many displays, we realize, like, oh, my God, she's on maybe the fifth display. We have seen about half of the entire first floor. And you circle back and find her. She's now moving on to the sixth one. But she stands there, reads each and every frickin' plate. We took her to the National Zoo. Had a bunch of family. Went to the zoo. Having a good time. Everyone else has left us in the dust. I told my wife, I said, I will stay with her because each... and every cage we go to, I'm like, look, you know this is a lion. You can look at it and identify
that's a lion.
But you're still going to read the thing that it says about the lion.
King of the jungle.
Somebody put effort to put all that on there. And look, by God, she is going to read
it. If you're the person that puts the effort into the info plaques at any museum or any zoo or anything like that, don't think that your effort is wasted. My daughter reads each and every one. Like I said, I love the fact that she wants to know and she retains it all. And trust me, you spend an entire 6-hour plane ride with her regurgitating everything she learned about chimpanzees that went extinct 1,500 years ago and why they're different than the chimpanzees.
Can I ask a homework
just real,
question?
Real quick. What? Did you see the cheetahs at the National Zoo?
I don't recall, maybe.
All right, because the cheetah thing takes a while. Then at the end of it, you like spin a wheel to see if the cheetah ate you.
Oh, okay. No.
Whoa.
Did not do
okay.
that. Did
all
not
right,
do
so that. Here's the question. The lion is the king of the jungle.
Even though it lives not in the jungle.
In a safari. Mm-hmm. Why is it called the king of the jungle?
I don't know.
Shouldn't a tiger be the king of the jungle?
The tiger lives in a jungle.
Yeah. The lion does not. No. So how did it earn that? That's like me being the king of the icebergs.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. I've never seen one.
Well, I mean, I think it's a miss. The title is wrong.
It absolutely is.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Like, is it one of the royal family, the Prince of Wales?
And they're not.
They don't live in Wales.
They don't live in Wales.
They just assigned it to him.
Right.
Right.
Like,
so some idiot just like, went, he's the king of the jungle. Probably saw one of them and just was like, I don't know, it's a big cat.
Jungle.
So wait a minute. You guys are telling me that song, The Lion Sleeps Tonight, The Mighty Jungle, that's not where the lion sleeps.
No.
That song's been a lie this entire time.
I can't say exactly. I don't know where lions sleep, but when they are awake, they are not in the jungle.
Just takes a bus to the jungle.
Maybe they fly back to the jungle. It's like the crows go to Bothell or whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
Like when Africa sings about the rains down in Africa.
Yeah.
And the guy says he misses them. No one misses the rains in Africa. It's monsoon season.
Oh,
it's flash flooding.
Also,
my daughter lives there. She was in knee-high water. No one misses the rains there. They need the water, but when it rains, it's devastating.
And also, he's never been.
It's devastating.
He even said, oh, dude, I've never been there. I just wrote a song.
Why
I did
some
rains. The ground is so hard, it doesn't absorb the water.
Yeah.
So it just rushes. You know, like, you know, heavy rain, not going to go in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what happened in Texas. It's awful. So that's what the rain is like in Africa. Honest to God. So no one misses the rains in Africa. They're like, holy
cleansing.
Crap.
No, but he
holy
does.
Crap, it's coming. You know what I mean? Like, hold on to your kids.
Right.
They have life vests in the village. Did you know that?
Well, no, I did not know that. Yes, why would I know that? Why would I know that African villages have life vests?
They do.
I'm sure my daughter knows because she read it somewhere.
They do.
I mean, thrill should know it. All right, Miles.
See, yeah, they do.
You're making me self-conscious because what? When I was a kid, I think it was like I was in eighth grade or something like that. No, sixth grade. Went to Washington, D.C. My favorite place that we went to was the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
I sat there because they've got the Gettysburg Address up there. I read the entire doggone thing. And there was even a picture of me taking it.
Sure, it's taking that long. It's a three-minute speech.
That's the thing.
I was reading the plaque.
He literally delivered a three-minute speech, man.
It's really big words,
it's not an address.
It's
a briefing. And I did not mind her read. Like she
Four-scored 7 years ago?
Yeah.
She read all of that, and I was cool with that because it meant something to her. I'll tell you my biggest fear with her, and I wish I was making this up. Luckily, this did not come to pass, but the one thing we wanted to do was take them to the Vietnam Memorial, all right? Because my son's middle name is a name of an uncle he'll never know because that guy died in Vietnam. So we wanted to find his name and let my son try it. And it hit him. You know, he really understood. And when they looked at this wall and saw the names, my son even asked me, this is all the people that died in all the wars? I said, this is all the people that died in Vietnam. And you could see that it had this impact on the kids, which is the point. But my wife and I are like, do you think she's going to read every name? Because it would not be past her to do that. You know, if I said, hey, man, there's 57,000 names on this wall, whatever it is, she might take the time to actually read 57,000, which would be the greatest honor anyone could have. But it's like, hey, man, time is money, and it's about 90 degrees outside. Do you know what I mean? So
Where's Hill over here? There we go. Are they in alphabetical order? I feel insensitive.
It is not in alphabetical order, but what they have is if there's a family member of yours or a friend or whoever that passed, what you can do, they kind of have a chart.
Okay.
That'll say if you died like in this year, it'll look on this part of the wall, and you can find a name. It is a very powerful thing, but I was so worried she was going to read every single name on the wall.
It's kind of like Arlington. Like, if you ever go to Arlington National Cemetery, it's set up in, like, sections and this and that. Yeah. And then there's other ways, so you can find specific stuff. But,
yeah, if you just had to look for a name on that wall and they didn't give you dude, it would take you a month.
Yeah.
Right. Same thing with Arlington. I mean, that's one of the things. It all looks the same.
It looks exactly
the same. Like, after my dad's service, like, we found Looney's tombstone, but like you got to know where you're looking.
How long did it take you to find it?
Longer than I'd like to admit.
Okay,
yeah. The guy kept giving me specific directions. I'm just like, understood.
But again, it's like giving directions to someone standing in the middle of the forest. And because again, when you look at Arlington, everything looks identical. So it's hard to get a gauge of where
you
are.
Take a left after the third one over there.
Right. That ain't helping.
No.
Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Jared, welcome to the program and the random would you rather question. All right, Jared, would you rather have a job where you are outside the entire time or a job where you work inside all day?
Oh, definitely a job where I'm outside. I actually left my desk job for that exact reason. So I was working a desk job and then I went and became an electrician so I could work with my hands.
All right, but you are inside every once in a while.
Every once in a while, sure.
Yeah. I'm talking about just being outside all the time. I don't know what that job is.
I mean, lumberjack or maybe roofer, something like that.
Maybe you load baggage onto aircraft,
you know,
or whatever the deal is, but you're outside. So whatever the weather is, you're involved in it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love the physicality. Take the outside job.
Yeah,
you're right. Typically, if you work outdoors, it's more physical. I will say I could do an outdoor job year-round in Seattle. Because it never gets that cold or that hot. And if it does, it doesn't last long.
Correct.
Maybe you get wet, but so the hell what, right? But, man, some places.
Well, let's assume it's in Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I could do that. Yeah.
There is something, like, when I was a landscaper, there's something fulfilling, too, about, like, we made those lawns look good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, you see the pattern in it and stuff. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It just feels different than doing other jobs.
A sense of accomplishment.
Correct.
That you can see.
And some of those days were so hot and humid and
it
sucked.
It was so gross.
But man, when you knocked off, it felt almost better
getting
off,
the beer tastes
too.
Better. Yeah. Like everything tastes better. The food tastes better.
You know,
like,
one thing I noticed, when we flew to Florida, right, we could not believe how fast baggage showed up in baggage claim. Because Seattle's notoriously terrible at it. And a friend of ours who'd flown out there with us for this volleyball tournament explained it. They said, if you go somewhere that is super cold or super hot, you get your baggage faster because those guys want to get back inside as fast as possible. And this guy explained he landed in like Chicago or something, but he's like, it's like negative 10 degrees outside. He's like, by the time you got to baggage claim, your bags were coming. Because he said those guys hustled. got everything
Get me out
all
of here.
That. Yeah.
Get me out of here.
And I was like, that's a good point. Seattle, always temperate. They're like, nah.
Also, I asked you off the air, but shout out to the TSA in Orlando. I don't know if it's the Disney effect.
I think it's how many people they
deal
with. But
they are so nice and efficient. Like, it's completely different than TSA you've ever experienced.
Yeah, it really is.
Raise me ask, would you rather have a job where you're outside or inside all day? According to a new poll, Americans spend nearly half of their entire day online.
Jesus.
Between work, jobs, and tasks, entertainment, and socials. Here's how that breaks down. The average American spends more than 10 hours a day online. 5.5 of those hours are spent on work stuff. Emails, paying bills, browsing, gaming, and looking at social media. And they spend another 5 hours streaming entertainment, watching movies, shows, and videos. 55% of them use their TV to stream content. 25% use computers and tablets to watch. 20% use their phone. Again, half of Americans spend half of their entire day online.
But a lot of it's voluntary, man. I've been taking the light rail the last couple of weeks because traffic's so effed up on 5, right? No big deal.
Yeah.
But when I look around every day, I would say 99% of people face down on their phones. And that's waiting at the station, when they're physically walking on the train. Like, they don't look up. They're still looking down on their phone. For 1 second, they scan for a seat. They find it, sit down, right back on their phone. Everybody.
That's what drives me nuts about kids in the car, as far as when you're in parks, places that have a view.
And they're looking at their phone.
They're on their phone like, hey, guys, there's a herd of elk over there. Look. And they go, ah.
Cool. I can see that online.
Yeah.
Here's a video of an elk.
Driving on 101 in Oregon with my kids. Guys, look over there, man. Look at that view. Look at that. Yeah. Yeah. Yo, look at that. Look at that big rock in the middle of the water. Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Cool, Dad.
Thanks.
Cool, nerd.
Thanks for bringing us here. More of the random Would You Rather question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinky's Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
Random Would You Rather question. I'll give you guys one before you head to the phones.
All right.
Blue Angels, I believe, arrived in town today.
And then they'll start, what, flying around tomorrow?
Practice, I believe. They practice. Two of them.
Two practices tomorrow, and then I think they do the show on Friday,
like,
Saturday,
is
Sunday.
Is it 11 and 1 or 11 and 2, something like that?
That's why James, Allen Iverson is not a Blue Angel.
Practice.
Yep.
I don't need practice. Well, the terrain's always different. Plus, they want to fly around the mountain, do their thing.
Wouldn't
I
you?
I think they like coming out here.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The view is,
yeah.
is good. Do you know, in all of the years that I've lived here, and the ridiculous number of flights I've been on, only one time have I come back where you can see Rainier. Once.
Really?
Yeah. And, okay. And look, I know, well, we can see it every day in the summer. It's not that. But to see it from above, and look, I've seen it for 20 years, and it's only maybe 2 years ago. They're like, hey, if you look out your left window, and I was still in awe of it. And I'm thinking, what flights do I need to get on to see freaking Mount Rainier from the plane, man?
One's going south to California.
That is crazy. It's just, generally, it's above the clouds, so you should see it.
Yeah, should. I don't know what it is about our flight path. Yeah. I just one time.
You know, the rest of the country, it's so humid that the sky itself looks like there are forest fires.
Yeah.
Okay, there are. You know, they come from Canada. They can smell them now, and they're bitching.
Yeah.
We get them out here, but we do have the bluest, clearest skies place I've ever been in America, other than maybe San Diego. And they get hazy too. Don't get me wrong.
They do, but
like,
yeah.
when you look at the sun in DC, it's a hazy thing. You can't make out the outline of it. You can't really see it.
It's humidity just, and smog, man. You're right.
It's orange. It looks like Capricorn 1.
I will say this: the sunsets in polluted areas, absolutely beautiful. Seriously, man, the colors it gives off, you're like, man, that is gorgeous. It's all pollution, but it's beautiful.
Here's the would you rather. Would you rather be a pilot with the Blue Angels?
Yes.
Or fly your own private jet?
Ooh. Ooh.
Now,
I'm taking the jet.
You get the status with the Blue Angels. Anywhere they go, they're rock stars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's their job. That's their only job.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure. I don't think they work at, like, you know, Trader Joe's on the weekend.
Right.
This is their job, period.
Correct.
And if they do 10 shows a year, that's it.
You know what? I'm with Mike. I think I'm going to take my private jet because it speaks to, obviously, I'm doing well in the background.
Right.
Whether anyone knows, well, that's the thing. I think knowing my own proclivities, if I own my own private jet, I don't want to be known.
No, you're going
to
fly it.
There's nothing.
That's the thing.
That's what I'm saying.
You fly.
Yeah.
So you might get in it, but you're not going to the back.
To me, the obvious answer is the Blues. except for the fact you got to remember, you got to do boot camp and years of the service before you get to be the pilot of the Blue Angel.
And they have to carry themselves a certain, even if they're out in public, right? Just the fact, if you recognize that they are a Blue Angel, they still have to uphold, you know, a certain level of professionalism, where if I'm flying my own private jet, wherever it is I go, if I'm a drunken a-hole at the bar, it doesn't matter. I don't have to do anything for you. Well, you can't really report me to anybody. You
also,
know?
Too, I mean, even if I picked the Blue Angels, I'd be throwing up in there. I mean, this would be like the worst
I think
thing.
Once you make it there, if you're a Blue Angel, you got it.
Well, I know that, but me personally.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not flying this thing upside down. I'm not doing your loop-de-loop. Just keep me in a straight line. You guys pace with me. You know,
I'll be the pace plane. You guys do your thing. Now, private jet.
I'm taking the jet.
Yeah, I'm taking, not a Cessna. I want an actual jet.
I mean, back to everything else. Just, I walk out on the runway. There's my plane.
Yeah.
I carry my bag over my shoulder. I get in. They tell me the green light, and I go.
How much work does that take? I mean, in the sense of, I decide I'm going to fly to San Francisco. I want to leave at 6 p.m. tonight. Like, who do I have to contact? What is the flight plan? Right, you know, it's not like you just roll out to your plane and take off like you do with your car. I mean, you deal with the FAA, let them know your flight plan.
Oprah used to do that. That's how she got her SLs.
Because she's a billionaire.
She would have. They did not put that on a like a FedEx.
Right.
They came out and got it, and then flew it back fast.
Correct, but Thrill's right. You still got to check in because you can't just be in the airspace.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just wondering. Well, it's not the end of the world, but just how much notice do you have to give them that this is your plan? In other words,
depends on where you keep your plane.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you can keep it at the Gig Harbor Airport and just walk up and go, "Hey, John, I'm out."
Right.
Or, you know, you can be in a bigger airport, I guess.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be a pilot. It's one thing to own a plane. It's another thing to be a pilot that owns your private jet. And they must have different speed regulations. Because, like I said, I knew a guy that flew private jets for people with money. And he was just like, look, if the typical commercial airliner goes like 440, 480 miles an hour on average, they can go faster. That's how they, quote unquote, make up time. But he's like, yeah, bro, look, man, we flew from New York to Seattle in 3.5 to 4 hours. And I'm almost like, why does it take us so long? He's like, because you're on a commercial plane.
Saving fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and plane travel, they Miles is right. To save fuel, they have slowed down over the years and take different flights. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the current roster of these Blue Angels. My guy in the slot, Wes. Trash Perkins.
Trash Perkins.
Trash. All right.
That's his call name.
Do they all have nicknames?
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
I think it's technically a call sign.
A call sign.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's trash. All right. How do you think you earned that?
That's what I want to know. Like,
does he drink a lot?
He probably ate a half a donut out of the trash can.
Yeah, or is his cockpit dirty? You know what I'm saying? All right, what else you got?
You have the flight leader, commanding officer. That's going to be Adam Gilligan Bryan.
Gilligan?
Gilligan.
He gets lost a lot. All right.
It's not good if he's the leader.
3 hour, tore my ass.
Right wing, you have Jack Rico, whatever his last name is.
Still throwing a football. All right.
I like Rico.
What's his last name?
Kelly?
K-E-I-T-Y?
Kilty.
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 Let's see.
I'd
left
have been
wing.
Guilty, Kilty.
You have Brandon Wobbly Wilkins.
Wobbly. That's the pilot I'm on.
The Wobbler.
Yeah, he's out of the left wing.
Whoa. Right.
Then in the slot, you got our guy Trash. Lead solo, you have Thomas Franz Zimmerman.
Ooh.
Franz.
Probably Franz.
Oh, man. Either way.
Franz. All right. Opposing solo, you got Connor Buddy O'Donnell.
All right, buddy.
And then the narrator, of course, is Scott Goldilocks.
Goldilocks.
All right. L-A-U-X.
Oh,
awesome.
Locks?
Loose? I don't know.
Close enough. Goldie they call Locks. Him Goldie. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What would the call sign be, Ted?
Squirrel.
Squirrel?
He's a little nutty when he's in the sky.
Okay, I dig it.
I want to say tomorrow, it's like, I know they have two practices. One is like 11, I think.
Yes.
The other one's probably around 2 o'clock or whatever. Well, the thing is that you will see traffic stopped out in front of 5th. And you'll be like, what is going on? And then this whole police escort will come down the middle of a 5th, even on the practice runs.
Correct.
They get a police escort.
Well, they stay right around the
down
corner.
Down to Bowie.
Ah, okay.
So even if it's Seafair, whatever the deal is, if you're wondering, like, why am I being stopped in traffic right now downtown? They're policing those guys down.
Also, a word to the wise that happened to me last year in that earlier practice, like 11:30, just be very careful looking up in traffic.
Yes.
I definitely almost rear-ended somebody.
And look, we will be distracted for the first part of the show tomorrow because look at I-5. That's part of their flight path, man. And every time they go by, we turn into little children again.
Like,
and we're all pointing out the window. like kids.
You could have emergency vehicles going by our building. We rarely hear them where right. we are. The two things that we hear are the Blue Angels and the dude with a thumping bass on I-5.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sometimes you just hear them.
And once in a while, because of the medical vac, not the regular ones, but one of those Blackhawks will cruise up there. And you hear that.
Yeah, you can't hear that. Yep.
Random.
Hello, Raymond. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Marijuana and
madam. Hola.
Raymond, welcome to the program. The Random Would You Rather question. Let's go with this one. Raymond, would you rather be stranded on a cruise ship or escape a burning airplane?
Oh, man.
Did you see?
Because I can swim.
Well, did you see the video of the plane the other day?
I did not.
So the plane was taking off. They're about to launch off there.
Yeah. I did see that.
And everybody's out in a couple of minutes. I understand, but the plane is on fire. Where the cruise ship, like, I know you're stuck, and I know it's inconvenient, but again, just my position of things is, this is not an emergency. This is an inconvenience. I can deal with an inconvenience. Emergencies, like most people, do not enjoy them.
Right. Also, on that plane, people were stopping to get their bags out. Like they were.
Are you kidding?
Did you see a video of that? The stewardess is like, get the F off the airplane. They're like, hold on. Jumping the bin, grabbing her stuff. She's like, come on.
Well, on cruise ships, you got like the pools, and you just lounge on the deck while you're stranded there.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but one thing to keep in mind, right? So the cruise ship has however many thousands of passengers, and essentially when you design these things, you make the assumption that at no point is every passenger going to be on the deck. It's not built to accommodate that, right? But when something goes wrong and the air conditioning goes out and all these other things going on, obviously the deck is where you want to be.
I watch poop cruise.
Yeah, poop cruise. They could barely fit because, again,
point taken.
Yeah, but still, I'm taking that 10 times over. You know,
do they really have enough lifeboats on that cruise ship?
They might.
I mean, when you walk by, do you see them?
You do see them. And you're briefed.
Are they big?
They're big enough. And when you get on a cruise, typically before the thing takes off, everyone's called down to this kind of common areas kind of per deck. And on that deck, they will explain to you that in case of an emergency, this is where you go to get on this particular lifeboat or the two or three that are there. But again, I maintain these cruise ships are neither sinking nor are they being boarded by Somali pirates. So it sucks, but you don't feel like you're in danger. Where the burning plane only takes a few minutes, but you're in imminent danger because it has all
also
that fuel.
For you, thrill, there's alcohol on the boat.
Well, I don't know if you watched the documentary Poop Cruise. It's worth watching. It's only an hour of your time. But one of the things they did, because this boat was stranded for a couple of days, obviously the passengers are getting restless. Same thing. No power. Toilets are overflowing, etc. So the cruise director said, you know what? Why don't we just open up the bar for everyone, at least for the adults, to kind of burn off some steam? That was one of the worst mistakes they made. As these people, because they're handing it out for free, they can't really exchange money. There's no way to do it. People got absolutely effed up. And now everyone started fighting. And they're like, drunk people fight, hundreds of them everywhere.
Well, did you know what happened to the plane in Denver? So they're starting to take off. They're starting to fire up the engines. So they're moving pretty good. And then there is a huge explosion that is heard. Then strong vibrations in the aircraft. The plane stops. Then a huge piece of debris is seen rolling from underneath the plane and off the side of the runway.
Right.
So something flies off. And then the smoke, and then the flames. So, one video, that's not good. Look, and you see something, maybe one of the wheels, rolling off of the airplane. Someone then screamed fire. So they opened up the emergency doors, and we slid down those inflatable slides. Multiple people are trying to run away from the plane.
Yeah.
You see like three or four people just absolutely eat it on the runway. Yeah.
And that's the difference. Because of the fuel on the plane, it's like, right, I got off the plane, but your fear, obviously, it's going to explode.
Right.
And like I said, that whole thing only lasted a few minutes. So in the scheme of things, it's a quick one and done, you're out of there. But I would think your fear level is through the roof. We're on the cruise ship, there's no fear, it's just annoyance, right? They say, hey, man, we don't have power, we're stranded at sea, and you're like, F. But nothing's happening, you're not drifting out to sea, you're almost being eaten by sharks, it's not sinking, it sucks.
Even poop cruise, they all made it back.
every single one of them.
And so did everybody in the burning airplane. Thank God. I mean, that, for that.
But I feel like they give different interviews. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? People on the poop cruise are like, oh my God, it was so bad, it sucked, blah, blah, blah. And they have a bit of a story. People getting off the plane were like, I was terrified for my effing life. I'm like, oh, okay. Which reminds me, this is when I learned one thing about journalism. Years ago, there was a flight from either Hawaii to like San Francisco or vice versa. But anyway, upon landing, the top of the plane ripped off. So these people are essentially in a convertible that is a jetliner is going to Hawaii. All right. So the plane lands. The one of the flight attendants got sucked out and disappears.
Yeah.
Right. Because everyone else is belted in. But, you know, the hair is all crazy. So it shows these people getting off the plane and there's a bunch of reporters waiting for them. And I remember this reporter asked one of the people, it's a dude with a mustache. That's all I remember. And he looks disheveled, right? And the reporter asked, were you frightened? And the guy just looked at the reporter, just shook his head and walked away. And I said to my father, why would you ask that dumbass question? He goes, it is a dumb question, but they can't just quote people. He goes, you still have to ask. Otherwise, you're putting words in people's mouth. I was like, okay. But he was scared. But I was like, no, I know that. But
did it hurt when you were stabbed?
Right. I mean, exactly. Like, you still have to ask the question, even when it's that stupid. Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Brock, welcome to the program. Random, would you rather question? Let's go with this one. Brock, you go out of town, all right? You're going to spend the night in a hotel. Would you rather stay at the worst rated hotel in town or eat dinner at the worst rated restaurant?
I think that one's kind of easy. Because I would just get really drunk at the food place. So
what if you got, really what if you got sick?
Shoot.
See, that's my concern.
That happened to me on vacation in Hawaii coming back.
What happened?
The flu. Flu. Second day there. And the whole week I was pissing and everything was coming out my mouth and out my back end. And it was
you got food poisoning.
Yeah, well, no, I think it was the flu because it lasted for like 5 days. It got to the point where we were coming back from Hawaii and I wanted to take a separate flight because I was afraid I was going to poop my pants on the way back.
But what kind of separate flight? Either you're among people you know, right? I assume tribal family or friends, or you're around strangers. And look, this is just me because this is another would you rather. Would you rather, if you're going to poop yourself on a plane, would you rather be among all strangers? You're flying solo. Because, look, there's still 172 other people.
I think maybe just separate flights so he could get more time on the ground in Hawaii.
I was sending the wife home with the kids, so I didn't have to deal with it. I was going to stay another day. But actually, on the plane, though, it happened where I had to go to the bathroom. And it was right after, sure enough, they started the food, the carts going up and down. And I go to my ex-wife now, hey, I gotta go, and I jump up and then I sit back down and she goes, what's up? And I look both ways and I can't go anywhere. I had to wait till they came by me, and then they stopped right behind me and took forever, and it's like, oh my God, please go by me. And then sure enough, the whole trip there was a group of Hawaii volleyball team ladies, they were all around the bathroom that I kept going to every other 10 minutes.
I think I'm taking the worst hotel. I have stayed in some seedy places. As long as you just get in that room and lock that door, chances are it's not going to be that bad. You're going to look around and go, wow, man. But
between Spokane, Washington, and Frederick, Maryland, I'm pretty sure I stayed in the worst hotels in those towns.
Yeah. Once you go to sleep, you're asleep. For the most,
The one in Spokane, I locked the door. I put a chair in front of it. Later, the next day, we're out there. This guy comes by and he goes, did you see this car? And we go, no, why? He's like, somebody just stole it.
Actually, when we just in Orlando for this volleyball tournament, one of our friends got there maybe 3 or 4 hours after we did. So we're waiting for her in the lobby, shows up with her kid. She's got an S ton of bags. I said, hey, man, I'll help you take them up to the room. She's like, thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. We get up to her room, and when we walk in, I didn't notice, but she's like, does it smell funny in here to you? And I said, honestly, I can't smell anything. I don't know. And she's not generally high maintenance. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I don't see her for about an hour and a half, which just seemed odd because her kid came down hanging out with my son. And finally, we see her, and I'm like, what the hell have you been doing? She's like, oh, I had to get a different room. I said, what was wrong with your room? She goes, you remember that smell I was talking about? I go, yeah. She goes, I thought maybe I was crazy. You didn't notice anything. My son didn't notice anything. And then I kicked off my shoes, and when I stepped on the carpet, it was wet.
Like, oh.
What? And she goes, but it was wet everywhere. The whole thing.
We stayed in a hotel where there was carpet in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, that was a motel.
Also, I did not know you needed to bring your own soap.
No, that was a surprise.
Just basic things. Like, you needed to bring your own towel.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have towels. I didn't have a washcloth. I didn't have soap.
I know the spot.
I drip dry in this thing, right? And I did not feel like my life was threatened or anything like that.
No.
It's just a bad motel, that's all. But it's the best this place can do, to be honest with you.
It is.
There's no other options.
Yeah.
And it's nice you walk out on the balcony each morning and all the smokers are in.
I refuse to throw them under the bus because we didn't. This was paid for.
I've never had a bad time there either.
So, like, no, me neither.
You have a good time, but it really is what it is.
But you realize, like, wow, man. Like, wow. Like, when I woke up the next morning, all right, the woman beside me in the hotel room, she had her window blinds wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I looked
in. Is this the old lady?
Well, I mean,
it's hard to tell
on age on the person.
Right.
She might have been 35. You never know. But I look in, and she's got the door open, too. And she's got the coffee pot going. And I look, and it looks like the entire thing is full of worms. And I realize that she is making top ramen
mm-hmm.
in the coffee pot.
I call that genius. Right?
I do, too. And I was like, hey, good morning. How are you? She's like, oh, good morning. But she's smoking inside her room.
Oh, I know.
She's like sitting on her bed ripping a cig, doors open, making ramen in the coffee pot. I'm taking the worst hotel. Because to me, that's it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And it's a better story.
Yeah.
Like, you tell the story about your father's head getting covered with ants.
That's the one in Frederick.
Right. And you just go like, inevitably, this is funny.
The one where the ocean came into the hotel room.
Exactly.
Like, I'll take that.
Yeah, I'm only taking it. I've eaten some bad meals just because I've stayed at worse motels.
Yeah.
Getting bad food is just the worst.
Oh, agreed.
Especially if it's a restaurant.
Yes.
If I go to an SE bar and the food sucks,
I get it. I go,
all right, that's not their main thing. But, yeah, remember when we lived up there? That first time me and Throw went to that restaurant, I was just like, this is awful.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
It was like on the corner.
Old diner?
Yeah.
Across from Vito's. It's not there anymore.
It's the only place, like Throw said, he goes, I don't know how. They somehow screwed up a French dip.
Right.
More of the random would you rather question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.